Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. In the beginning, the universe was created. This has made a lot of people very angry and has widely been regarded as a bad idea.
Well, Lake Effect astronomy contributor Gene Creighton disagrees with that sentiment from writer Douglas Adams in The Restaurant at the End of the Universe. In fact, she's been dedicating her current shows at UWM's Manfred Olson Planetarium to the beginning of said universe. She joins us in the studio now.
Hello, Gene. Keeping warm?
I'm doing my very best here.
Yeah, I know we're sitting here shivering in this studio, but we're about to talk about something that should warm us all up, and that is when the universe was a hot babe.
That's right. Really hot and young.
This is a while ago, though.
Yes. Yeah. Between 13.7, 13.8, but that's the time, a billion years ago. That's what we're talking about.
Well, it's a few billion between friends.
Yeah. So we like to think about how the universe came to be, because relatively recently, within the last 50 years or so, we're starting to get tools that we can do that.
So we assume that there was a Big Bang, that there was a single point that the universe was, and it became what
the
we are now.
The huge universe that we see now.
Right.
So when we say assume, I want to caution you with that word, because we have some evidence, and that is, if you take... There's other evidence, but I think what's most easy to grasp is that if you look at these distant galaxies from us, you can measure their speed, you can measure their distance. If you run time backward, how long would it have gotten them to get to their current position? You can estimate how old the universe must be.
So, yes, we do have evidence of that. And how far back can we see? I mean, you used a word that I really liked, which is that you are archaeologists.
On steroids,
yeah. And it's you're kind of archaeologists of time.
Right, because the beautiful thing about astronomy is light takes some time to travel to us. So if we're looking at something nearby, well, then we're looking at the recent past. If we're looking at something far, we're looking at something at the far past. So when you look at the moon, for example, you're seeing it as it was a second ago. When you're looking at the sun, you're seeing it as it was 8 minutes ago. When you look at the brightest star in the sky, Sirius, you're looking at about 9 or so years ago, as it was 9 years ago. But if you choose to look at really, really distant galaxies, or even young galaxies like quasars even farther, you see the universe as it was at that time. You don't infer it because you can see it.
We're actually looking at that.
We're looking at the past.
Which is really kind of cool.
It is an amazing
idea.
It's
an amazing thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So how far back can we go? We can't get to that very first point, can
Oh,
we?
No. In my view, there are two important moments in that look back time. So for starters, the universe didn't always have stars. So it didn't always have things that glowed as brightly as stars do. And so far with the Hubble Space Telescope and with other ground-based observatories, we can't at this point see the very first stars. We can see pretty close, maybe when the universe was, say, 2 billion years old, a long time ago. However, we're hoping that when the James Webb Telescope comes online, we'll be able, with that extra sensitivity that it'll buy us, we'll be able to see the very, very first stars and galaxies that were formed in the universe.
And about when is that?
That would be about a billion years.
Okay. So seeing back before that time is going to be tough because there's nothing to see, right? There's no light.
Well, there's nothing light from stars, right?
Right.
Okay. We can do better than that, not in the visible light. We can do better than that in what we call the cosmic microwave background, which is an awesome term. Cosmic just because it's everywhere in the universe. Microwave because it's visible in the microwave. And background means that everything is on top of that.
It's the foundation.
That's the foundation. Any other signal, any other thing that you see is the microwave background and that. Talk about cold. The microwave background is sitting at about 3 degrees above absolute zero.
And so what is absolute zero in Fahrenheit? That's like minus 240 something?
Yeah, it makes this like a walk in the park on the beach.
Yeah, in your bathing suit.
Exactly. Yeah. So in other words, there is no spot in the universe that's going to be cooler than that. That's a minimum. Now, what's great about the cosmic microwave background is that that's the radiation that was released when the universe was still very hot and relatively small. It became from opaque transparent. That meant that light could issue forth, could move forward through space. And a lot of the information from that early universe was imprinted on that radiation. So Nobel Prizes have been had analyzing that microwave background because it tells us a lot of the properties of the early universe, including the fact that, yes, we see that background, the 3 degrees, but if you increase your contrast, you can see what's going to become the seeds of galaxies in the future.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So not only looking back, but you're looking at the future. As you're looking back, you're looking at what is about.
What will become the future.
Right.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So when the background radiation went from opaque to transparent and allowed light to escape, that means that light existed before that. We just couldn't see it because
of
the background?
Yeah, it was entangled with matter.
Okay.
It couldn't go anywhere. It was constantly interacting with matter. And what ended up happening was that, I mean, the universe was as hot as the sun is today. But because of the expansion of the universe, that wavelength got stretched out, cheapened, you can think of it as, to microwaves. So it got what we call redshifted. So,
and so that's why we can see it on telescopes that are looking at the microwave spectrum.
That's right.
Part of the spectrum.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So as we look at the early universe, what are some of the most exciting things that astronomers and cosmologists are looking at right now, given the information that we have and what's been analyzed already about the early universe?
I want to make this personal. I mean, I'll get to your question, but I want to make it personal because when I started as an undergraduate student, cosmology was very mathematical and theoretical. And your universe was just as good as mine, and we could talk about where various philosophical differences about how we imagine the universe, but there was no data. In the time that I have not been an undergraduate student anymore, which is now some 20-some years, 30, that has completely changed. And now there's actual data describing the universe. So I just wanted to point out that is a fundamental difference in how we approach the study of the universe.
And in a very short time.
In a short
time.
Even
in human terms,
a very short time. Yeah, never mind in stars terms.
Right.
Yeah. So one of the things that we're excited about is that we've figured out in the last, it's now 20 years, that the universe not only is expanding, but it's accelerating in its expansion. So I like to say that we don't want to solve all the problems because what are we going to leave for the next generation of astrophysicists? How are they going to make their livelihood? But one of the current problems is what makes the universe accelerate? It is counterintuitive. No matter how you think about it, most, even if you consider the metaphor of an explosion, which is probably not very accurate, but in any case, if you imagine something starting, expanding, our tendency is, well, things are going to peter out. They're going to slow down.
And eventually fall back in on themselves.
Possibly even as much as that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the idea of the Big Crunch was a very, I'd say it had a 50-50 chance when I was a graduate student. And the data became more and more overwhelming that the Big Crunch is probably not a thing. That the universe really is accelerating in its expansion. The universe's end is probably going to be dark and cold, which is not something we want to think about today. But in any case, the point is that we are unsure of what is the mechanism. Is it a quality of gravity? Is it the quality of space-time? Is there something altogether different? We don't know. And that's exciting. That you have some pieces to a puzzle and you're trying to whip them all together and see if you can make a consistent theory that matches the data.
And I assume that there's more data coming in all the time.
Yes.
So that can change as
that
well
can
as
change.
Something new gets thrown in the pot, to mix our metaphors.
Right.
And the soup becomes a stew, you know.
But there's also another thing that not only do we change the more data comes in, but also as time goes on, as we get more powerful computers, as we can use super colliders, there are other ways of approaching the problem. So if you have a big enough computer, sometimes you can run a model that 10 years ago, it would be impractical. You simply couldn't in your lifetime as a researcher. And we have these really powerful super colliders. You can't reach the extreme conditions of the early universe, but you can approach them more than you could in the past. So these three approaches of the data, the computer simulations, and the extreme environments we can make in these synchrotron, in the colliders, brings together more insights.
I wonder what it would be like if we finally ever get probably well past our lifetimes, but maybe not. Maybe
things change.
Things change, but you know that we actually do know how the universe was created.
Mm-hmm. Think about it's not even been 100 years since we knew there were galaxies. And
wow.
Now we're studying clusters of galaxies and superclusters of galaxies.
And we're looking back in time to almost the beginning.
Almost when they first formed.
Right.
Things can change pretty quickly.
Pretty fast. Well, we'll have lots to talk about.
That's right. I'm actually hoping that we're talking to a person, maybe a person who's thinking about a career in astrophysics who might have a brilliant idea that he or she can share with the rest of us.
Maybe in 20 or 30 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
We can get them started early.
Get them started now. Well, Jean, thank you so much for braving the elements, for coming down to talk with us, and we'll talk with you next month.
Thanks so much.
Jean Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee and a regular Lake Effect contributor. The Beginning of the Universe program at the planetarium is Friday nights through February 22nd.
And the answer is 42.